Coming up on podcast 1324, the Rolls-Royce Spectre, all electric, is seen testing. Stick around, I've got all the details for you. Also on your podcast today, groceries arriving with electric power, a new Tesla Megapack going in somewhere, and a first look at China's plan for the next 5 years, which does include some vehicle-to-grid stuff as well. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for Wednesday, 29th of December. The weird in-betweeny bit between Christmas and New Year. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. And if you're enjoying some holidays right now, I hope you're having fun. I certainly am enjoying being off any other work apart from EV News Daily, which is several hours work a day, but still. And this is what my wife knows passes for me as not working. A lot of my American friends are full on working this week. Hope your week is going okay. Right, we'll start with, I promised you yesterday I would talk about this very briefly. You know I don't really cover too much negative EV news because, you know, someone's always whinging about something. I like to celebrate the good, the great, the things to get excited about. But I have seen lots of people have been contacting me, and I've seen on my social media as well, people have asked me why I haven't talked about Tesla's version 11 user interface. Now, they have totally redesigned what the cars look like, and, you know, no one likes change and all that. Lots of people are really unhappy with this. Several Tesla owners have been particularly vociferous on places like the Reddit forums. I tend to look at Tesla Motors Club, the forums, TMC forums. They tend to be more level-headed than social media. I'm trying to stay away from Tesla Twitter because it's really poisonous on both sides. Like, people want Tesla to fail. There's people who are like Elon's army, and I've got no time for that anymore. So I try and, like, the forums are good, owners groups are good, because people are just, you know, normal, like you and me, and not really proving a point, just discussing their cars, some frustrations. But this new update does seem to have offended quite a lot of people because they prefer version 10. Why? Well, lots of icons have changed, not happy about the functionalities, the driver profile's missing, the seat warmers are missing from easy access, the trip information's gone, saving the dash cam, the tyre pressure now require more taps to access than before. You can get to all of these things, but you just got to be jabbing the screen a bit more. And some owners have gone as far as to say that this, because it's taking your eyes off the road and you've got to learn where new stuff is actually dangerous, and the vehicles are now less safe. Well, Teslarati, the obviously very famous pro-Tesla website, which upset Elon Musk recently, so he unfollowed them on Twitter, have been posting more critical content lately. It's really surprising to see, like, such a pro-Tesla blog that have built their whole business on basically just rah, 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 bang the drum. They're being a lot more critical, I've noticed, since that kind of spat. They say that Tesla owners, noting the icons in the new update, don't have a uniform look, the same polished look as the old ones. Others noticing that the position of the information, such as like the vehicle speed, has regressed because your hand covers the speedometer if you rest it on the steering wheel. The fact that there are icons for Tesla Arcade, Tesla Toy Box and Theatre, which are actually inaccessible when you're driving the car. Those icons are more prominent, but trip information, tyre pressure, the seat heaters, all those things have all disappeared, seeming like a very, very strange update to the user interface. And I did. I had a wry smile today because it's pretty cold here at the minute as I reached down and pressed a physical button in my car to turn on the seat heater. It's like, yep, you know what? I love big screens, but sometimes I know where that button is. I didn't take my eyes off the road. I just turned my seat heater on. Now, others pointing out that actually Tesla have implemented an automatic seat heater depending on the auto settings and the cabin temperature. If you've got an opinion, share it with me. I'd love to hear. My address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. But otherwise, you know, as I said, nobody likes change. But I'm open-minded to, you know, if things have got worse, then let me know. Or is this just a case of just needing to, you know, retrain a bit of muscle memory? Maybe a bit of both? Let me know. Right, let's talk about an interview that BMW executives did with Automobile Sports publication, which I thought was really interesting. Now, it was a long interview. I have just read the transcript, not listened or watched it. But Peter Notter is the board member of BMW responsible for customer brands and sales. And I had a couple of quotes from him that I thought were interesting. I bring you. He said this, and I quote, "Right now, charging infrastructure is failing to keep pace with sales of electrified vehicles. That's why we urgently need rapid infrastructure expansion, especially in urban, densely populated areas and over longer distances. This is also up to policymakers. Economical operation must be ensured and, if possible, promoted, especially while infrastructure is still in the expansion phase. Who's going to build a second charging post if the first one can't cover its costs? But in the long term, the market must regulate itself in the interests of the customer." End quote. And that's interesting because if you listen to my Christmas Day show with my very festive Christmas theme tune music changed for that one show, I won't spoil the whole show, but I was my six Christmas wishes for Santa. One of them was regulation for EV charging networks. Now, this board member at BMW is saying the complete opposite to me. Leave it up to the markets. Capitalism is good and great. He doesn't say that, you know. I'm embellishing, as always. You know me. But he says the market will regulate itself in the interests of the customer. And I respectfully disagree, Mr. Board Member of BMW, because the market has proven itself time and time again to be entirely dysfunctional. Markets cannot regulate themselves in the interests of the consumer. Ah, yes, sometimes regulation is needed, with a bit of an iron fist at times as well. And I think charging networks, not in 10 years' time, but today, right now, I think it needs governments, local authorities, administrators, whoever it is, to get it by the scruff of the neck and say, look, if your charging post isn't working for 24 hours, you're going to start to face fines if you don't get it fixed, if you haven't got parts, if it's still on your app and people are turning up to charge their EVs in the middle of the night with their families or women traveling alone and that charging post is out of order, that needs to be fixed. And there's too many cases of charging points being out of order for days, weeks, months. You know the ones I'm talking about. And they're just not fixed. The industry cannot self-regulate. Anyway, so I disagree there with Mr. BMW. What do you think? I'd love to know your thoughts. He has some other things to say, which are pretty interesting. He says, and I quote, "We have set ourselves ambitious goals for electromobility next year. We aim to more than double sales of our pure electric vehicles compared to this year. In 2022, we'll be focusing on two more approaches that'll make charging even more attractive. First, we'll be integrating charging more deeply into the My BMW app. This means our customers can find everything related to their vehicle in one single app, including access to public charging points, and we'll continue to promote charging networks, which will make the charging process simpler," end quote. And again, like, I'm not out to be disagreeable with BMW, but I don't need another app on my phone, sir. I need you to integrate it into your cars. Don't integrate charging into the app. Buy yourself a Tesla, see how well charging is integrated, and go and do that, please, in BMWs. Forget the app. It's all well and good. Please, 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 in the year 2022, stop worrying about apps. Anyone can do that. Sort out getting cars halfway as good as Tesla's integration with their own charging networks. You can see, you can look at the fast chargers that you are navigating to. The battery's already preheating the battery. It's telling you whether that charger is in use, how much it's going to cost when you get there. Ideally, plug and charge will be implemented, so you just turn up, plug in and walk away as well. That's what we want. We want it properly integrated into the cars. That's what we really need. All right, headline story today, Rolls-Royce, the Spectre EV, has been spied up close and personal in the best spy shots we've seen yet. Rolls-Royce promising it'll be developing its Spectre electric car in plain sight, that's the phrase, and some decent proof in spy shot form. Outside of the initial teaser photos released by Rolls-Royce, which was earlier this year, we've had very few other details. That's changed today as the auto blog Spy Shooters have captured one of the electric vehicles on a flatbed and also testing. Autoblog.com says the most intriguing angle of view is directly from the front. You can make out that this Rolls appears to be wearing a version of the upcoming stacked headlights, which was previously spied on the upcoming BMW models, like 7 Series and X7. They also say that one of the last intriguing items to note is the angle of the rear tyre. When you look at these photos, the front tyres are at full lock and there's angle on the rear wheels. So yes, rear wheel steering coming to the electric Rolls-Royce Spectre. It's not a crazy angle on the rears. It might be less than 10 degrees, actually. It might be, because what is it, 18, 19 degrees on the Mercedes-Benz EQS? I think it's 10 degrees, 9 degrees on the AMG version of that car. And the Rolls-Royce Spectre being a coupe, it's reasonable that it wouldn't need a massive amount of rear-wheel steering just to be a bit more agile in the city, but still a pretty big car. Bit of extra angle helps. I'll pop a link to that story in the show notes if you would like to read more. Right, coming up very soon on the podcast, we'll have a look at Tesla's new Model X Plaid now being delivered to customers, and Rivian saying, you might have to wait a little bit longer, and we'll tell you why. Stick around, those stories are on the way. Now, let's talk China and some advanced level infrastructure stuff in terms of using EVs to balance the grid. China's Central Cyberspace Affairs Commission. What a cool department to work for, by the way. The Cyberspace Affairs Commission released their 14th five-year plan today. So it's always good to have a look at China's five-year plan and work out where they will be because, well, you know, like I've said before, many times, like or dislike the way that China is run, when they say they're going to do something, they tend to get it done, whether you like how that's done or not. And one of those things is an energy network with electric vehicles. The government is building or aims to build over the next 5 years an optimized and balanced energy management system with real-time monitoring, online analysis, and regional energy information available using electric vehicles, they say, pushing forward the mutual interaction between EVs and an intelligent grid, an intelligent and efficient charging infrastructure with ample charging piles as well. Piles is what they call a charging post. Really interesting. I'll pop a link to that story in the show notes if you'd like to read more. Now, a first look at Tesla's Model X Plaid. It's being delivered, and a seller of aftermarket parts for Tesla have put a YouTube video up. So I've heard of Evan-X. They sell aftermarket Tesla stuff. I hadn't heard of this chap and his company, but clearly very knowledgeable and had many, many Teslas and sells Tesla aftermarket bits. So it's his business to, you know, he's not going to be critical is what I'm saying. Not in his interest to be critical. The Model S and the Model X have the same platform at their heart with the refresh of the, I was going to call it long range, but it's now simply Model S and Model S Plaid and Model X and Model X Plaid. The Plaid version Tri-Motor, goodness, is now reaching hands of its customers. I don't imagine this will be more than a handful of cars, by the way, getting out just before the new year, just so that they can say, probably even in a shareholder presentation or regulatory thing, like, oh, we delivered the cars in 2021. I mean, there's going to be a few of them going out before New Year's Day, I imagine. Maybe I'll be wrong. Of course, the new car has that big landscape screen, that infotainment screen, big upgrade over the old portrait style version, and the rear seat screen is, I mean, it's really big in the model. Is it the same as the S? The rear screen that has media controls and climate controls, you can even watch a movie on that. That's, of course, there in the Model X version. Not discussed in the video, like I say, he's not going to be too critical, is some pretty bad mismatch panels. The Falcon Wing doors don't look too well aligned. Come on, Tesla, you've had a while at making these things. They don't line up with the front doors and the rear quarter panels. Model X Plaid has some, Model S Plaid rather, has plenty of criticism from those that like spirited driving around its braking. People like my buddy Kyle from Outer Spec Studios doesn't rate the Model S Plaid brakes at all. They are, of course, getting a carbon ceramic upgrade mid-year. In about 6 months' time, they say, it'll be an $8,000 or $10,000, I imagine, maybe a bit more, optional extra. Some people would want those if you really want to hit the track hard. So, of course, Model X is going to be heavier. Again, it's going to be the same braking system. Some people have an issue. I've not driven those cars. Check out Richard from RSEV and his YouTube channel, Richard Simons, because he was over in the States before Christmas playing with lots of things like Model S plaids and the Ford Mustang Mach-E GT Performance Edition as well. Go check out. He's made some amazing videos lately, so go and check out what he is doing. And, of course, a premium partner of this podcast. I'll pop a link to that story in the show notes from Auto Evolution if you'd like to see more. Rivian are next in the news, warning of delays to their R1S and the R1T if you'd like an extended range battery. They're pushing back the most expensive and longest range versions of their trucks and SUVs. Reservation holders being told it'll be at least 2023 before they get their cars. Deliveries of the vehicles are underway in very, very small numbers right now. They did confirm on December 15th, RJ Scaringe, the CEO, wrote, "We have 71,000 pre-orders for the R1T and the R1S. The large majority are for the Adventure package trim with the large battery pack." Large isn't the biggest. There is a max battery pack, I should add. It costs $10,000 more, has 400 plus miles of range, and there's about 20% of the pre-order kind of reservation holders, so that would be 14,000 people that want the max battery pack, and those 14,000 people are being told, we're not going to make that for at least a year, so at least 2023. And they didn't say January or December, so you know it could be 2 years away. Oh. Rivian did say, hey, we'll reach out to those customers, see if they want the smaller battery pack, and get their car a little bit sooner. I'll pop a link to that story from Slash Gear in the show notes if you'd like to read more. Now, semiconductor supply issues do continue into 2022, I hate to say. And a Korean article, so yes, it has been through Google Translate, so sorry about that. It's from etnews.com. The release date of customers' favorite electric vehicles are being delayed pretty much around the world. In some cases, some consumers not getting their cars till a year away, or 2023, just reflecting that previous story that I gave you. However, this is where the price of used EVs is overtaking the price of new cars in some markets around the world. Frontline branches are waiting in Korea. So again, look, this is their home market. So they do export a lot of cars, by the way. But some dealerships in Korea are waiting 13 months. If you buy an EV6 right now, over a year, I would think they'd prioritise the home market, or at least keep their, you know, Korean customers sweet a little bit. But it seems like I could get one quicker, and that seems a bit daft, but either way. 13 months for an EV6. 12 months for a Genesis GV60, 8 months for an Ioniq 5, from the time you sign the contract to the shipment. The actual delivery date may change again, they say. An official from a Kia branch, who didn't want to be named, said, and I quote, "The EV6, which uses a lot of semiconductors, has been delayed for more than a year. It's difficult to confirm when it will be shipped if you sign a contract. We only receive an official letter from the head office telling us to announce the change in delivery schedule from time to time to avoid customer complaints." End quote. Well, as the delay in shipments becomes a serious issue, says this article, the price of a used car in Korea is exceeding that of a new car. The longer the delivery period lasts, the higher the used car prices are going. They give the example of a Tesla Model 3. Some used versions of that with several thousand miles on the clock going for more than a new one, because people just want the car now. They've got the money, don't want to wait, so they'll pay a bit extra. Right, staying with Hyundai, they've got a new offering in 2022. I've mentioned this before when it was breaking news, but now I can flesh it out a little bit. Hyundai Home is about bundling services, if you like, charging, solar, batteries. Hyundai has revealed now more details of their, what they're calling, a concierge service, Hyundai Home. It's going to help EV buyers get the best out of their connected electric life, launching early next year. It's a one-stop shop, they say, for Ioniq 5 buyers. It can be as simple as getting a simple level 2 charger for your house just to charge overnight, or maybe you want a rooftop solar system, you want battery storage that you can use during a blackout, and more as well. Each buyer gets an assigned concierge that'll work through the entire process, and you can even use their financial services division to bundle your monthly car payment along with the cost of the charger and the solar panels and the battery as well. So it's one single monthly payment for all of those things above. I'd love to see how that works in practice. And any of the listeners of this podcast that perhaps get to experience that firsthand, I would love to know. I'll pop a link to that story from Motor Trend in the show notes. Right, three more stories to go on the podcast today. Sorry, I'm running a bit long already. First of all, a great bit of news coming out of the Bay Area Quality Management District. This is $7 million in grants to help offset the cost of installing EV chargers in the Cupertino area, I think this is. And they're looking at workplaces, destinations, transit parking locations as well. The article from Cupertino today says, projects installing EV charging in multi-unit dwellings, affordable and below market rate housing sites, as well as projects located in environmental justice communities, are being prioritised for this $7 million. Now, of course, you can burn through that pretty quickly, but I've talked to you a lot in the last year about how I love talking about the cars, I love talking about all the exciting stuff around EVs, but I still, in 2022, want to remind everyone, want to talk a lot about the mums, the dads, the parents, whoever they are, where there's too much month left at the end of the money, when they can't make ends meet. And the last thing that they want to think about is buying one of these fancy new electric vehicles, because they're just getting to the end of the month and they're just surviving. And that is a lot of people. And you say to them all, but we've all got to drive these electric cars to clean up the air and do our bit for climate change. Like, that's not even a conversation so many people can have until the used car prices start to come down. Man, I'm so excited about cars coming in at the top of the funnel because it makes used EVs cheaper. Although you wouldn't think that because I've just told you about used cars being more than new ones. Oh my goodness, so much to do in this world. Right, let's talk about Tesco, a big, massive supermarket chain, if you haven't heard it, depending on where you're listening around the world. My UK listeners will know that they are the biggest supermarket chain in the country, and they're now going to be using all-electric, heavy-duty, articulated HGVs to transport food around, particularly in Wales, actually. 37 all-electric DAF vehicles will be ferrying these goods from the rail terminal, which is in Cardiff, to their distribution centre 30 miles away as part of a partnership with their logistics company. They're designed to provide charge of about 100 miles a day, which is more than these trucks will need because it's a 30-mile journey each way, making it an ideal way to start using electric vehicles within Tesco, to start working out how you can change your supply chain to using electric vehicles. Transport remains our single largest source of greenhouse gas emissions in the UK. Road traffic is the lion's share. HGVs, commercial trucking, is 16%. Well done, Tesco's. Well done, Tesco. Everyone calls them Tesco's. And I hope it all goes very well and we see more of that happening around the company. Right, final story today and a big battery going in from Tesla. The Switzerland-based energy company MET Group is putting in an 8 megawatt hour Tesla Megapack battery in Hungary. They're doing it to deploying this battery to soak up excess solar generation and integrate renewable energy into this. It's to be online by next summer, they say, and another great example of how batteries, whether it's EV batteries or any kind of grid storage, can do so much to lower people's bills, make the grid more resilient, and all those kind of things. Just store a bit of renewables as well. We love it. We love it. Right, that's your podcast for today. Question of the week returns in 2022 with emobilitynorway.com. But send me a suggestion, and I could pick yours. My address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Thanks so much to our premium partners of the podcast as we get to the end of another year of just incredible support from everyone on Patreon. Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and of course emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one, see you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.